Turn the Word of God to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, we'll read the first 15 verses. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they will have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning we spent time thinking and considering and pondering the King. Psalm 2, as we considered the Christ, the one appointed by God, by the Father, to sit on the throne of the world. The Son of God coming in glory, taking to himself a human nature and being elevated by the Father in his humanity to this place in his rightful reign over the world. He is the King. Jesus Christ is the King. And everyone in the world owes him loyalty and obedience, submission. Well, now, this afternoon, we come to consider the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of the King. And we come to realize that not everyone is in his kingdom, not everyone wants to be in his kingdom. That there is a conflict in this world between those who want to be under a different ruler, who are under the rule of Satan, under the rule of the evil one himself, are in his kingdom, and don't want to be in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This world is full of all sorts of kingdoms, including all sorts of nations and kings and rulers who are trying to establish themselves. We try to build our own kingdoms. But we must, instead of being focused on building our own kingdom, and which is really in serving the evil one and putting ourselves and him at the center, we must be fixed on Christ's kingdom. If we are loyal subjects of the King, we need to be focused not on our kingdoms, but on his kingdom. We need to have no mixed loyalty, but only be loyal to him. And that we would see his kingdom come in this world and it come in fullness at his return to bring us to glory. And that's the focus as we come to pray, as Christ teaches us to pray. That focus here in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer is your kingdom come. And so we're going to focus ourselves on where we ought to be focused, on the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Prayer has six petitions, and the first three petitions are focus us all on God, all on serving him. As Calvin says, they're intended so that we, when we pray, we would lose sight of ourselves and be focused on God. Our prayers focused on him first of all. And in the first petition, Hallowed be your name. We, as we pray to our Father in heaven, we desire for him to receive all the honor, all the glory, for his name to be lifted up, for us to decrease, for him to increase. That his name would receive the honor that it is due from all. And the second petition, then, your kingdom come, flows out of that first petition. For as we desire the kingdom of God to come in all its fullness, it's that his name would be lifted up, that the Lord and his anointed king would be exalted and worshipped and given the homage that it is due, as we heard this morning, kiss the Son. That's what he's owed. We have to ask ourselves as we consider this in the midst, this is a petition, a prayer petition. Does this look like your prayer life? This focus on the kingdom? Or when we pray, is it always about our kingdom? Does our kingdoms get priority? All our long list of needs, our long list of wants, are we seeking them to build our own kingdoms, to serve ourselves, or is it that we would serve our God? Again, if you and I are loyal subjects of King Jesus, then we would seek his kingdom first. And we would seek his kingdom above everything else. So we're going to consider the second petition this afternoon, considering what the kingdom is and how what this petition means, what we're praying for, what our desire ought to be as we pray this petition. When you pray the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, when you pray, your kingdom come, you declare that your heart desire is for God's kingdom to triumph over Satan's. When you pray the second petition, you declare your heart desire is for God's kingdom to triumph over Satan's. And very simply this afternoon, we're going to look first at what you pray and then how to pray it. What you pray and how to pray this petition. Well, when we come to consider what do we pray, when we pray, your kingdom come, our words mean something. Our words are not just words we say. We don't have vain repetitions. We need to understand what it is that we're praying. And first, what is meant by kingdom? Well, God is in overarching control of all the world. And in his wisdom, in his sovereignty, in his divine decree, which much of which is hidden, and what his purposes are, we don't always understand. There are two kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of Satan, and there's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan was an angel created who rebelled against God, tried to push him off the throne, and he failed. He was kicked out of heaven. And he came down to God's creation, came down to the earth, to our first parents, Adam and Eve, and he enticed them to do what he had failed to do in heaven. To say, he enticed them to rebel with him against God. And they gave in. Adam, representing all of humanity, brought all of humanity out from, wanting and desiring to bring them out from under God's control. It wasn't the case, but still he entered into this kingdom of Satan and to put himself under Satan's rule and reign. He didn't remove himself from God's rule, but God, for punishment for his sin, for his willful rebellion, and allowed him to come under Satan's reign. And wherever sin is to be found, wherever there is evil to be found, is the kingdom of Satan. But God, in his mercy, did not leave us under Satan's awful, horrendous reign. Did not leave us to be destroyed by him. But in his mercy, he sent a rescue. To the glory of his grace, he provided another who would come. He established his kingdom through the Lord Jesus Christ, put him on the throne to rescue us from the kingdom of Satan and to bring us under his kind, gracious, and loving rule. Paul writes to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1, when Paul's talking about the work that what God the Father has designed to do. He says he has delivered us, the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Through repentance and forgiveness that we're brought into this kingdom. It's not, we're not grabbing a sword and fighting our way in, trying to conquer that way. It's the weapons of our warfare are spiritual, the preaching of the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit accompanying that to bring one out from under Satan's grip and into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. God in his mercy sent to rescue you and me who are trusting in Jesus Christ, to rescue his people and to put down, ultimately, we'll put down this rebellion. In this kingdom, we're praying to the Father. We're praying for to the Father, your kingdom come. And as we saw this morning, it is very much the Father's kingdom, even as we can also call it very much the Christ's kingdom. For the Father, as we saw in Psalm 2, has delivered, has given to his Son a kingdom, has placed him on the throne. And so when we pray, there's no difference in prayer. When we pray your kingdom come, we're praying for God's kingdom, the Father's and the Son's to come, to be, for all who have been given by the Father to Christ to be brought in, for the fullness of the king, for the kingdom to be filled and to be filled with those whom he saves, who he makes loyal to himself, men, women, and children, whom he rescues from Satan's kingdom and brings into the kingdom of grace. And that kingdom of grace then, one day, becomes the kingdom of glory. That kingdom of grace becomes God's kingdom of glory in heaven. Another way of considering the difference between the kingdom of grace and the kingdom of glory is to think of the church as the church militant, those who are still who are fighting the good fight, and those who have triumphed in Christ and are in heaven, the church triumphant. So when we think about these kingdoms, we think of these two kingdoms. That's where this petition, the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, as we consider now, what do we pray then? We're going to take the Shorter Catechism outline. There are three things dealing with these two kingdoms. First, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed. Then we pray that the kingdom of grace may be advanced. And then third, we pray that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. That Satan's kingdom may be destroyed, the kingdom of grace advanced, and the kingdom of glory hastened. Well, as I said, Satan's kingdom, wherever sin and rebellion is to be found, is a mark of Satan's kingdom. Jesus calls him the prince of this world. Paul, when he writes to the Ephesians, Ephesians 2, reminds them of what they once were before God graciously rescued them. He said, God made you alive who are dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Wherever sin is found, this kind of rebellion that we heard about this morning, where there are those who are raging against the Lord's throne and those who are conspiring to try to get rid of God, as we heard from Psalm 2. That's where Satan's kingdom is. They're attempting to overthrow God, trying to build up his kingdom so that God's kingdom would be destroyed and brought down. Sinning, breaking God's law, not living as God commands, is serving Satan and is serving his kingdom. John writes in 1 John 3, "He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." You see the clash of the kingdoms. Christ came, that his kingdom would destroy the kingdom of Satan. Now there are those who willingly, who are volunteers in Satan's army, those who are willingly under his kingship, those who are desiring, this is by nature all of us, desiring to serve him, desiring to see his kingdom come, desiring to see see his name exalted. Loyal to Satan. They need to be rescued. But brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to be careful that you don't become, you don't help the kingdom of Satan through your own sin. For when you sin, you lift up a weapon against Christ's kingdom and against his people. Sin is a weapon to seek to cut down the kingdom of Christ. And thus it has no place in the Christian life. It has no place in your and my life. For to sin is to serve the wrong king. Now, it's logical when we think of this petition, your kingdom come. It's logical. It's very logical where our catechism goes with it, that it says that we're praying that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed. These two kingdoms cannot coexist peacefully. They cannot be together, and some take some territory and another takes another, and we'll just kind of agree to disagree. But when we pray for the kingdom of God to come in fullness, then by logic it means that Satan's kingdom has to be completely and utterly destroyed. David writes along these lines in Psalm 7, verse 9, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just." And the just will not be established fully and completely until the wickedness of the wicked is destroyed and put away. Jesus says in Mark 9, if those who are not with us are against us. Those who are not with us are against us. I'm in John, Mark chapter 9, verse 40. He who is not against us is on our side, and therefore if you are against us, then you're not on his side. These are these two opposing sides. They cannot coexist. There's no neutral ground in this world. You cannot be neutral. You cannot say, well, I'm not serving Satan, but I'm not really sold on serving Jesus. You're either in one, you're serving one or the other. And this is thus a very serious prayer when we pray, in some sense an imprecatory prayer, but calling for God's judgment to come down to destroy this kingdom of Satan. We do this with humility. We don't do it in the sense of seeking some personal vendetta or some personal vengeance. But we do pray seriously that Christ's kingdom would fill the earth and that there would be no rivals left. John Flavel writes that however firm Satan's or Antichrist's kingdom seems to be founded in this world, they must and shall fall before daily prayers of the saints. As God has commanded us to pray this prayer, so he has ordained this prayer and our praying to be a means by which his kingdom does indeed come. These are powerful prayers. We pray them in faith. We pray them in trust. We pray that God intends to work through our prayers to bring about his purposes. And we pray with that sincere desire that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed. And then related to that, we pray that the kingdom of grace may be advanced. We pray that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, that it would indeed fill the whole world. That it would fill the whole world. That the prophecy of Isaiah would come true, that the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That indeed the gates of hell would not prevail against the advance of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, as Jesus promised to his disciples in Matthew 16:18, when he said that strongholds will fall, that none will be able to withstand the proclamation of the gospel and the advance of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would pray again for the fulfillment, another fulfillment of Isaiah, of one of Isaiah's prophecies. When he prophesied of the coming child who would be born, and he prophesied that of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. That we would pray that that would indeed be the case. When we pray your kingdom come, we do pray saying, Lord, that the increase of his government and of the peace that comes through Christ would not end. We pray that every spiritual weapon that God has given for this warfare, for the kingdom to advance, would be made effective, especially the preaching of the Word of God, that it would go forth and God would use it to take those to rescue rebels from Satan, to make them loyal to Christ. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So this is what we pray for. When we're praying for the Ukraine, we're praying for Russia, and we're praying for these situations in Eastern Europe, we're praying. We desire, we see the need, we see the humanitarian crisis that's ongoing, we see lives being lost, but We pray that through all of this, Christ's kingdom would advance. That's our primary goal. It doesn't exclude other things. But that's our primary goal. That's why we pray for the church. The church in all these surrounding countries where 1.5 million refugees have fled the Ukraine and have entered into all these other countries. We pray for the church. We pray for the church in the Ukraine to minister to others in the name of Christ, that his kingdom would advance through even these means. Certainly a corporate prayer for us to pray for the whole kingdom, but there's definitely an individual and personal aspect to it, isn't there? When we look at the second petition, and we pray that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it. Praying that we ourselves would be members, loyal members of this kingdom. It's time to examine yourself and say, am I a member of this kingdom? Am I a member of Christ's kingdom? Am I a member of the kingdom of grace? Have I repented of my sin and turned to Christ for the grace to live for him? It's not try really hard to serve his kingdom first. You need to throw down your weapons and come to him and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you. Have mercy. Examining ourselves as those under this king to say, am I growing in love for him? Is my loyalty increasing? Are any other loyalties that I might be tempted to have, are they being destroyed in my life? Is Satan's kingdom any grip he may still have a little bit, or any avenue into my heart and life? Is that being removed and destroyed? You see, there's so many who think that as long as I can just squeak into heaven, I'll live however I want. But brothers and sisters, our goal is not to squeak into heaven. Our goal is not to just barely be in the kingdom, to just get in the gate before it closes for good. Our goal is not to be barely loyal, but to be deeply loyal to our King, to serve him with everything that we have, with all that we are. And so when we pray this petition, your kingdom come, we are also praying that God would give us that loyalty, that his kingdom would come in our hearts in fullness, and that we pray that he would keep us in it, that he would enable us to persevere in serving him faithfully, that we would persevere, that we would not go back on our loyalties or backslide. We do not seek to establish our own kingdoms or somehow use the gospel as a means to advance ourselves personally in some sort of kingdom-building exercise for ourselves. And the great encouragement is that you pray. And our Father, through Christ, hears us. But the great encouragement is also, brothers and sisters, that Christ prays for us. Your King prays for you, for your loyalty. As he prays in the high priestly prayer in John 17, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are, praying for you, that you would remain loyal to him, that you would grow in loyalty, that you would persevere. Not only then do we pray that the kingdom of grace would be advanced in our lives, but we also pray that our others would be brought into it, that the kingdom would grow, that others would be brought in. You know, we live in a country with a very high standard of living. We live in a country with a lot of blessings and a lot of perks of living in Canada, in a place where there's more wealth than many parts of the world. And maybe not all those things are good for us, admittedly. But this is a higher standard of living. We don't have many of the fears that so many in the world do in terms of even justice and our legal and threats to our personal security. And so when we live in a place like this, then we would desire others to be able to enjoy those same benefits. Say, this is a good thing. We want others, if we love our neighbor, we want them to enjoy these things as well. And how much more spiritually, when we are in the kingdom of grace, when we see what it is to be under the kingship of Jesus Christ compared to those who are suffering under Satan's rule, don't we want others to know this as well? Other rebels come and swear loyalty to Jesus Christ, to know by grace through faith what it is to serve him. And friend, if you're here this afternoon and you've never, or you're watching online, you've never submitted yourself to Jesus Christ, let me just say, first of all, you can't truly pray this prayer. In fact, you can't pray the Lord's Prayer at all. I know it's often used in liturgies. I know people, is often just repeated, and in some just say, if you just say it a lot of times, somehow that gains you extra favor with God. That's all nonsense. You need to pray this from the heart. And if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, you can't pray any of this. Because God's not your Father if Jesus isn't your Savior. And logically, if God's not your Father and Jesus isn't your Savior and King, then you don't want to really pray this prayer. Because it's self-destructive. Because you're praying then, if you're praying for God's kingdom to come, you're praying for the kingdom that you're still a loyal part of to be destroyed, and you with it. Now you need to come to Jesus. You need to come and you need to think about what this means. You are on the path to destruction. Your kingdom, the kingdom you're part of, is going to be destroyed. You need now, while there's still time, as we heard this morning, kiss the Son. Come, bow, seek forgiveness, plead for mercy, and enter the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That his kingdom would be advanced through your salvation as well as he brings you in. We pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed, that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, and finally, that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. The kingdom of glory may be hastened, that Christ would come back on the thrones in glory and bring it all. The kingdom to its fullness and its completion. The kingdom has come far since Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, "Your kingdom come." Christ has gone to the cross. He has suffered and died for the sins of his people. He was raised up in glory and received that coronation. His name was set, was lifted up above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. He ascended up into heaven and was received as the God-man into glory, and is there interceding for us. There's much that has happened since Matthew 6. The gospel has gone out from Jerusalem to Judea and throughout the whole world, and many have been brought into the kingdom. But there's still more work to be done, or Christ would have returned already. There's more to be saved, the elect to be brought in. Christ then to return. Desire that? Do you desire for the kingdom of glory to come? For all of Christ's enemies to be conquered? His people saved? You and me to enter into heaven, into that place, the most blessed place, where we will be able to worship our God without sin forever. John, after seeing the glory of God, seeing the glory of Christ, seeing the glory of what is to come, says at the end of the book of Revelation, Christ says, "Surely I am coming quickly." And John's response to that is, "Amen. So let it be. Even come, Lord Jesus." And so when we pray, "Your kingdom come," in essence, we pray that same thing. Come, Lord Jesus. That the kingdom of glory may be hastened. The kingdom of grace would give way to the kingdom of glory. And you pray the second petition. When you pray, "Your kingdom come," you declare that your heart's desire is for God's kingdom to triumph over Satan's. And the kingdom of glory, when it comes, is the ultimate triumph over Satan. When he will be finally, fully, completely, he and all that are his will be destroyed. Well, we've looked at what this means then, to pray, "Your kingdom come." Well, how then can we pray this prayer? How can this particular petition and all that it means, how ought it to affect our pattern of praying? For as we know from the Lord's Prayer, it is a prayer we can pray in its fullness and pray together, but it's also a pattern of prayer by which we conform our other prayers. So how do we pray, "Your kingdom come"? Well, first we pray with thanksgiving for the kingdom's advance. Paul tells the Philippians in Philippians 4 that we are to make our supplications with thanksgiving. We are to seek from God. We are to seek new things from God with thanksgiving, to pray with thanks. And so that's where we begin. How do you pray, "Your kingdom come"? We say, "Thank you, Lord, for how much your kingdom has already come. That Jesus Christ has come. That he has done his work perfectly and well, his work in this world. We give thanks to you, Lord, for the plans for your kingdom that are being worked out perfectly according to every detail, and for the accomplishment that's already been seen. As we read of the advance of the church in the New Testament and in church history in the last 2,000 years. We give thanks to you, Lord, for how you are bringing about this kingdom through the relationships you've established, through the covenant relationships you've established, especially this relationship in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. For when we are in Christ's kingdom, his victory is our victory. We get to share in what he has done. And we give thanks to you, Lord, that you've conquered us, that you've made us willing subjects of you, that you've given us a loyalty we could not have given ourselves, that you've made us to want to serve you. We give thanks. How do you pray this petition? First, with thanksgiving for the kingdom's advance. Second, with the desire for the ongoing advance of the kingdom, that work which God has begun in his church, that work which Christ has begun, would be concluded and completed. In the different ways we can pray for this, our larger catechism in the same question, it gives a more expanded answer on what it means, what we pray when we pray your kingdom come. And among the things it lists is essentially saying that if preaching is the most important way by which the kingdom of Christ advances, then pray that the church of Jesus Christ would be furnished, would be given, and have all the gospel officers that it needs, and all the ordinances would be faithfully administered. That there would be elders and ministers who are able to shepherd the flock and who ministers to preach the gospel and to go out into all the nations. And so pray for your current elders. Pray for more, for the Lord to build up his church as he builds up his church, to continue to provide shepherds for his church. Second, you can pray for the purity of the church. Pray that any disloyalty to Christ would be removed from our hearts and removed from us as the church. Sin is not just a personal problem. It affects the whole church. It affects the whole church. Your sin affects the whole church. Pray for the purity of the church, for the putting out of the leaven of unrighteousness that can infiltrate and infect the whole. Pray for the purity. And that purity comes through those who believe in Jesus Christ. That purity comes through the work of the Holy Spirit to make us holy. And pray for the spread of the gospel. Pray for this, for the advance of the kingdom across the world. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for evangelists that go out faithfully proclaiming Christ. I think I've told this story before, but one of my professors, who was a missionary for many years in Uganda, went and different places around the world, and I think this was in Uganda where he was preaching. And as he was preaching, and there's a huge crowd of people, and as he was preaching, he heard this humming noise, and he couldn't understand what this humming noise was, but he preached, and he then, after he had finished that sermon, and he was standing on a stage, he realized that underneath the stage were a whole bunch of women who were praying for him as he preached. And that humming noise was their prayers. While he preached, they prayed for his preaching. And had a profound effect and impact on him. But realizing the Holy Spirit was answering those prayers and equipping him while they were praying. God was working. They were praying for the spread of the gospel even in that place. Also pray with a desire for the ongoing advance of the kingdom, pray for the persecuted church. Pray that our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are suffering under Satan's rule or suffering under those who are under Satan's rule, who are desiring the destruction of God's kingdom, that they would fail, that Satan's attempts would fail. That the witness, the faith, the loyalty of these saints would increase, that more would be added to their number. And again, we pray for churches in Eastern Europe. We remember that whatever loyalties we have, even to our own nation or to the Ukraine or to Russia, these kingdoms are here and they will go. But Christ's kingdom will remain forever. So pray for the church to have this kingdom view as they minister to whoever they minister to. That whoever comes through the door, whatever nationality, whoever they might be, they would proclaim the gospel and welcome them into the church of Jesus Christ. And pray for them and for us, for fearlessness to preach the gospel and share the gospel. We read in Acts 4 this morning, after the apostles were persecuted and they were released, what did they pray for? They didn't pray, Lord, keep us from any sort more danger. They said, Lord, give us fearlessness, give us boldness, give us your spirits that we would proclaim the gospel. Pray for that. That's something we need to pray for in our own for the preaching of the word out of this church, but also for the sharing of the gospel in our day-to-day lives. And don't stop praying for the ongoing advance of the kingdom until it comes in fullness, until Jesus Christ returns. You pray with a desire for the ongoing advance. Third, you pray with your eyes fixed on glory. When Jesus said, I'm coming quickly, we pray, yes, Lord, come. Desire glory. Don't get fixed on this world, but fixed on glory to come. How often does that enter your prayers? How often? Perhaps with the turmoil of the world we're in and we're seeing around us now, perhaps it comes to your heart and your lips more. Is it truly your desire for Christ's kingdom to come, for the glory, the kingdom of glory to come? You need to let that reality, that full consummation of Christ's kingdom and the kingdom of glory to flavor our prayers. Not as escapists. Not as saying, man, it's really hard. I just want to get out of here. But with a desire for the glory of our God, again, we can worship him and be with him without sin forever. And fourth, we pray with action. How do you pray? You pray with action. As we pray, we act. Praying to our God, prayer in general, is not an excuse for laziness. And praying to God, your kingdom come, does not give us warrant to say, well, I've done my bit. We pray as we work, and we work as we pray. The Dutch theologian Wilhelm Brockel writes that pray and work for this kingdom, even though it is not in man's power to extend, preserve, and sanctify this kingdom, this being God's doing, it is nevertheless God's will that man, out of love, be motivated to promote the kingdom's well-being. Call upon God to that end. God is sovereign, but he gives us command to be active in promoting the welfare and the well-being of his kingdom. The fact that God commands us is enough. We may have thought, well, if God's sovereign, why do I evangelize? Because God tells you to. That's enough. He's your king. You don't question the king's authority. But we also know from scriptures that God ordains the means by which he advances his kingdom. God can use means. He doesn't have to use means. He's free to do what God will do. But he's ordained means, including prayer, to bring about his purposes. We pray because God has said that our prayers will be made effectual. In other words, effective to accomplish his purposes. We act. We work. We take action because God has said, through you, I will advance my purposes. He commands us to do it, and he ordains the means. And we need to pray and act, your kingdom come. And that look means, again, that self-examination. Are you living in obedience and loyalty to the king? Are you examining yourself? And by grace, crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, remove from me this lack of loyalty, this sin, this lust of the flesh, this that is pulling me away from serving you. Again, another Dutch theologian, Herman Vitsius, writes that we must labor zealously to advance God's kingdom in ourselves and in others, in those especially who have been trusted to our care, nor as we stand as authorities over others, or those with different relations that we have. That because Jesus Christ has saved us and brought us into his kingdom, so it is reasonable as we offer ourselves a living sacrifice to seek his kingdom, to see it grow, to tear down our many kingdoms, to show loyalty to Christ, and not only to Christ, but to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to care for one another, to be loyal to each other, and to raise the flag of Jesus Christ unashamed, to say, he is my king, and I will serve him. And I will do everything I can by his grace to see his kingdom come. Peter writes to the church, to a persecuted church in 2 Peter 3, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, look at the world, all these things will be dissolved, they will pass away. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Brothers and sisters, we live in the kingdom of grace, even as we long for the kingdom of glory. And so let us pray with action and serve our God. When you pray the second petition, you declare that your heart desires for God's kingdom to triumph over Satan's. This afternoon we've considered both what that means, the kingdom is, and how we can pray this petition with a heart fixed on Christ. Brothers and sisters, what a joy it is that you and I have been brought into the kingdom, that we have been made loyal subjects of Jesus Christ. We who once were in Satan's kingdom have been transformed marvelously by grace. And so indeed, may God's kingdom come. May it come in your lives and mine. May it come in our church and our community, and may it come throughout the world. And may you and I be increasingly loyal subjects to our King in this world, even as we long for the coming of the kingdom of glory. Lord in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us, Lord, this direction in how to pray. We thank you that according to your promise, our prayers will be made effectual. That is what you have ordained. But Lord, we do pray with all earnestness that your kingdom would come. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to advance your kingdom in our own hearts and in our church and in our community as we seek to serve you faithfully and to pray and act as we reach into our own communities, our neighborhoods, families and friends. And Lord, we pray that you would give us all loyal hearts, if there are any hearing this who do not yet know you, who are still rebels fighting against you. Lord, tonight, may they throw down those weapons in faith and turn to you and cry out, Lord, change me, save me, make me more loyal to you than I have ever been. And Lord, that our own hearts, where there's still mixed loyalties, Lord, that you would take the mix away, and that, Lord, we would only have our devotion set upon Christ. So, Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come. We pray that we would be active members of that kingdom. And we do pray that the kingdom of glory would be hastened, that you, Lord Jesus, would come. We pray, come quickly. And until then, may we be found faithful in this kingdom of grace. We look to you, we love you, and we love your rule over us. We pray in the name of Jesus the King. Amen.